want you to listen to this. See, this is a new commandment. We're not living under the old commandment no more. We're not living under the curse. We've been liberated. We've been redeemed. We have been glorified. We've been made the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the way the church lives. This is the life of a Christian. And I know some of you are not going to like it, but this is it. And Jesus heard this, and he said, there is one thing you still like. There's one thing missing. I like this New Jerusalem interpretation. Boy, you don't have to interpret this thing at all. All you got to do is read it. It's approved by the church. So you aren't going to have to interpret this tonight. Just listen to it. It said, there's one thing that you like. Sell all that you own, distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. We don't like that, do we? Ain't no one of you like it. I didn't like it. Let me read this again. It says, there is one thing you still like. Let me ask you, who was this written to?
Me.
There's one thing you still like. Sell all that you own. Distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when he heard this, he was filled with sadness. For he was very rich. The difference in my life today than 8 years ago is I never know when I'm going to eat. Now, I know the prescribed times that we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But in the walk that I walk, I never know when I'm going to get the breakfast or the dinner or the lunch or the dinner or whether I'll even get it or not. I had to make a decision 8 years ago that if this brought eternal life more than anything, I wanted to live with Jesus. I wanted to be in His eternal kingdom. I wanted to be like Him. And He said, sell what you have. I was a wealthy man, very rich. And God wouldn't even let me sell it. I had to give it away. I travel, and I never worry about clothes or what I'm going to eat or where I'm going to stay. I don't know from one day to the next. Sometimes when I'm stationed in a place for a week, I know that most likely I'll be there for a week, but it's not guaranteed. Because all I got to do is make one slip, boom, you're out of the house. I've been chased out of houses before. So he said, I don't want to live like that. I got my own stuff. I'm set up in my own little kingdom. I am independent. I don't need that. I'm totally and completely self-sufficient. I want to tell you that self-sufficient man, according to Scripture, wound up smoking. That's right in here, folks. And I never have learned how to pull back off of this thing. All I can do is just tell you, I'm going to just have to tell it the way it is in me, and it'll have to fall on those ears that can hear. I had a lady come up to me one night, and she said, are you saying this is for everybody? I said, no, ma'am. Just for those that have ears to hear. You got ears, brother. Not for everybody. Jesus said the road to destruction was wide and many would find it. The road to the kingdom of God is narrow and it is straight. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this because most of the time we stop right here. We don't go any farther than that. Listen to this next verse. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to make their way into the kingdom of God. How hard it is for those that have riches, how hard for them to make it into the kingdom of God. Too busy with the world. We can have joy and excitement in the world because we've got money to spend. We can relax and lay back and enjoy life. Have a good time. And in the same hour that we're enjoying and laying back and having the good time, a brother in Ethiopia just died from starvation." You know the incredible thing about the rich man and the poor man? They both died. So I don't care how rich you are. You know old Nelson Rockefeller died? Just poof. Howard Hughes bit the dust. He can't spend a lick of the money they're fighting over right now. He just can't spend it. How hard it is for the rich to make their way into the kingdom of God. Yes, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In that case, said the listener, who can be saved? Because you see, the Jews have always been rich. Always. The Jews, one of the reasons that the Jews are persecuted in the world, you can put them in a garbage pit and they'll make a gold mine out of it. And the people around them will get jealous and kill him because he just got rich off of a bunch of garbage. First thing, the only place that the Jews could work when they first come to this country was in the dump. And they took old wrecked cars and they made them. They took all the old scrap iron, built them a factory and started molting, pouring. I mean, they'll just make it, won't they?
Right.
They live under the blessing of God. Everywhere they go, they prosper. Creates a spirit of jealousy and they get killed. The Jews run this country. So I don't object to it. Because somebody's got to run it. They control the money in it too. I don't object to that. So somebody's got to control it. Thank God I don't. Then who can be saved? Things that are impossible for man, he replied, are possible for God. It is possible for the rich to be saved. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I want to finish reading this, and I believe that this whole thing should be discussed when it's read in our gospel on Sunday morning and they just said a part of it. Then Peter said, now here's the disciples. Here the ones that God has called to head up his church. All of a sudden, you know how impetuous old Peter was. I mean, he spoke up right away and said, Peter said, what about us? Not just like an evangelist. What about me? This is what I like. This just rings my bell. What about me? We left all we had to follow you. In other words, Jesus is the one that reaches down and says, come and follow me. Peter said, what about us? We had to follow you. You come and got us. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Now, the church teaches us that we are all apostles. Amen?
Amen.
We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
We are a kingly people, a royal priesthood. We are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, listen to this. So we've been chosen. God, because we belong to the body, God has come and chosen us and said, come with me. I tell you solemnly. Now this is Jesus talking. Who is he talking to?
Me.
There is no one who has left their house, wife, brothers, parents, or children for my sake of the kingdom of God who will not be given repayment many times over in this present time. Let me read this again. I like it. You do too, don't you, sister?
Yeah.
Y'all tired of struggling with the world? Huh? Y'all tired of the big fight and the pressure tanks that you're living in? Our mission is to save the world. Our mission is to be proclaimers of the gospel. Listen to what Jesus is saying to the church. What he said to Peter. Peter is our first pope. He set the example that the church is supposed to follow. Jesus set the example that the church is supposed to follow. And he gave us the words. And he says that they will be repayment will be made many times over in the present life and in the world to come, eternal life. My dear brothers and sisters, 8 years ago when I made a decision to follow Jesus, the thing that had to be broken in me was my pride. I had to learn how to sleep in other people's beds. I didn't like it. I made enough money I can buy my own bed. I got my own coffee pot. I cook my own breakfast. I can't do that no more. I got to depend on the body. Wherever I go, I depend on the body. The body that I minister to is the one that provides for me. The world waits for the sons of God to be manifest. My dear brothers and sisters, when we act on the Word of God and we begin boldly proclaiming the Word of God, the people of the world that you convert to the kingdom of God will provide your every need. They will make provision more than you could ever imagine. You will have an excess. You can even send some to feed the poor. And when it begins to happen, money is no longer your God. You know that it's to be used to win friends. To win a friend, you got to win them into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, as tainted as money is, use it to win friends. The only way you can win a friend is to introduce them to Jesus. Do you know that our mission is to transform the world? But you know, we can't do it because we got too much to take care of. You remember when Jesus had the big banqueting table and he invited all of his invited guests, the body of Christ, the Roman Catholic Church, and all of a sudden everybody began to say, but I got to go milk the cows. I got to go take care of my wife. I got to go bury my daddy. I got to go tend the store. They begin to make excuses not to come. Didn't they? No different today, folks. The only thing is we got so many more people. And everybody's making excuses. I got, why? The whole town would think I'm crazy. Well, they already think you crazy. You can't impress other people by what you wear or anything else. I don't care how, I don't care what you got, they still think you're nuts. They say, they just talk all kind of evil things. Why don't you get out and be counted for something that's real? Can you imagine what would happen in this community? How many of you belong to this parish? Raise your hand. Father, look at that. There's hope. You got enough right here to turn this whole town around. But I want to tell you, the only way it'll be turned around is if you begin to live His life. You begin to deny yourself. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You begin to give generously. Giving of your time. Giving of those things that you have. The excesses that you have. And you watch this place begin to grow. It just has to, folks. As I read through Scripture, the Gospels, probably the writers that were inspired of the Holy Spirit and the bishops that put this together back in the year 300, they only took those scriptures that accounted for about 30 days of the life of Jesus. In other words, this was just one teaching. Probably happened in an hour, just like today. Boom, he said it, and he's off. And somebody wrote it down. Out of all the teachings that we have recorded, the theologians say that it was approximately 30 days of the life of Jesus. And the incredible thing, if you will begin to look at Scripture, look at it closely, 28 out of the 30 days, Jesus was talking about money or the effects of money. And folks, we have become a greedy, selfish nation. We are taught in school from the time of the first grade. We are taught and taught and taught. God helps them that helps themselves. You got to get out and do it yourself. Be famous like Rock Hudson. I was at an eighth grade graduation class. My son was graduating from the eighth grade, and a precious brother got up and said, "Now you got to reach for the stars." He didn't say reach for Jesus. "I want to see you back here in 20 years and see you famous. Go to Hollywood." I thought, wow, what a dummy. Go to Jesus if you're going to reach for the stars. Take on His life if you're going to have peace. Join in His mission as Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, Jesus just laid it out to us real plain. What we do today, we look at what we have as a blessing. And I want to tell you, it is if you take and use those things that you have to bless others. If you use those things that you've stored up. See, we're not supposed to store up anything. If you will use the excess that you have, that others may be blessed. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. The rich man, his problem was he didn't love his brother, and he let him die hungry. We've got to love one another. The gospel of Jesus promotes a gospel of love. If we love God, then we must love one another. Then this brother, if he's not able to preach, he should support the one that God has raised up to do the preaching that the world can hear and make a decision who they're going to follow. Jesus said, "I assure you, if you give one of mine a glass of water, it will not go unrewarded." A glass of water. So whatever you do in this ministry, whatever you do, that I can continue to increase the volume of people that I preach to. You can't give to this ministry and not be blessed. You just can't. My brother sitting up here on the front row, Brother Lenny pulled in here 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. All of his mechanics were outside sweeping the street, cleaning up shop. They didn't have a lick of work. Did you, brother? No work at all. Here comes Lenny with that big Holy Ghost bus. Pulled it in there, and he was able to turn all of his mechanics loose on it. Shoot, fixed it right up. The next day, he had more work than he could take care of. Last Friday, he was saying, "Dear God, we're finished." I said, "Brother, you're not finished. He's just getting started." He said, "Unless God does something this weekend, we're finished." I said, "Well, wait till the weekend's over and see what He'll do." He picked me up Saturday. He said, "We're back on top. God done it." Folks, it's in the giving. Jesus came, Almighty God came, and gave everything that He had so that we would learn how to be generous. Amen.
Amen.
See, through His, we didn't have the money to pay the brother for the work on that truck. That whole bus out, that was a gift. Hey, it started out in California. When it got to Pensacola, it looked like it looks right now. All finished. We never laid plans for it. It just happened. And as it come down the road, every one of the people that touched it got blessed. Every one of them that worked on it just got blessed, blessed, blessed. I was at his shop today, Thursday. I think it was Tuesday of this week. And every bay was full. And his lot was full. He said, I'm having to turn it down. A month ago, he was hurting. See, folks, in our generosity, God can bless us so that we can continue to give. As you make a gift, don't stop at that. Continue to give. It's like a farmer planting seed. As he plants, he doesn't sit there and watch for it to grow. Now, in a case of emergency, where you're starving to death, he'll let it grow up in a hurry. But most of the times as you plant, it's a process. You plant a seed in the ground, and you go on about your business. 4 or 5 months later, you come back and pick the tomatoes off of it. You're being rewarded for your investment in the seed that you planted. When you plant into the kingdom of God, it's an investment into God's work, and it will reproduce as you're willing to turn a loose, as you're willing to give. Amen. You all know these principles, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah.
No one can be, this is Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse. No one can be a slave to two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. You cannot be a slave to both God and money. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came for us to be a slave to Him. Now, if we are a slave to Him, He will provide for the life. Listen to this. He said, that is why I'm telling you not to worry about your life or what you are to eat or about your body or how you are to clothe it. Surely life means more than food or the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not reap nor sow nor gather in a barn, but the Heavenly Father feeds them. He'll feed the birds. Are you not worth much more than they are? Don't you think if you turn loose and begin to preach the gospel of Jesus, that He will feed you? If you will begin to give unto His kingdom, that He will make provisions for you, that in that you can begin to look to Him and hope in Him, and it is in Him that He will slide these little wonderful things to you, and you can, oh, glory to God, because you know it came from Him. Folks, it works. Now, what He's done to me, He has slid so much my way, and it happened. He slid so much my way, I got a little attached to it. Listen, you can't work for God. He just got through telling you He will reward you more than you can even imagine. In 2.5 years since I have been conducting this Life in the Spirit seminar, this School of Evangelization, this inspiration of the Word, in 2.5 years, God has given me an Aerostar paid for, a video van paid for, an office, 12,000 people on a newsletter, computers, and I mean just boom. I'm looking at all this stuff and saying, wow. And the day before yesterday, the Lord said, would you give me back that airplane? I said, no. I done got attached to it. I love to fly, and I get in that, it just, because I knew that God had given it to me, I could just... He'd go, phew. No sweat about flying. I just get in it, and it'd take off. I could leave Pensacola 2 hours later to land in Houston. The Lord said, give it back.
I said, no.
And I said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give it back to you. But I'm going to, if you don't have that thing sold in 90 days, if it doesn't move in 90 days, I'm going to keep it. My wife called me yesterday all day long. And I finally got, I returned her call last night just before I came up here. And she said, your plane is gone. I mean, shoo! I mean, it went away here. So I didn't even have time to change my mind. Now, because I was willing to turn it loose, my faith is that God can give me one bigger and faster. My faith. Amen. It's the problem arises when we get a hold of something and we can't turn it loose. The wall is not to be grappled or fought over. It's to be used. We are to use the world and love people instead of loving things and using people. Yeah. Everywhere I go, I bring a blessing to people. That airplane that I surrendered, we had just spent $21,000 on it. Just redone everything in it. And I never even got a chance to fly it. Was it all rebuilt? I was flying it. The turbochargers were blowing smoke, gas fumes in the cockpit. I mean, I said, Lord Jesus, don't let this thing blow up till I get it home. Got it all fixed. Never, still sitting at home. Gone. I won't get a chance to fly it. But you see, I'm willing to turn a loose. And it's in that that you can be blessed. The television. See, what we're going to do is use that money for television so that people can hear this message. We have been offered the PTL network for $2,600 an hour to go into a 12 million prescribers to that particular network. 12 million people, 12 million homes, 12 million television sets. Don't you think they need to hear the message?
Yes.
From the Catholic view?
Yes.
Well, there's 100 of you here. Amen. Yes. I only got to go 8 weeks if I can get 100 each week. In two months, I can be preaching on the PTL network. We already got the programs ready. They're already labeled and ready to go. We've already got the post office box for them to send the mail. And you see, when we get into that realm and we begin to talk to that many people, then we can become effective in raising the funds to feed the poor. I can't raise enough here. Amen. But I can if I start talking to 12 million people or 12 million homes. That's not counting the 6 million that I'm on in Trinity. So I'll be talking to equivalent of 18 million homes, a Catholic layman. It's never been done in the history of the church. Amen. Well, you rich, wonderful saint, as we close another evening, I want to just praise the Lord for an opportunity to share the Word of God and for you wonderful saints that are able to hear it. Because I know that God will bless you in it. Lord Jesus, help us tonight to receive your word. Help us to understand, Father God, your message. Help us, Lord Jesus, to enter into the reality. Move us, Father God, even if we should resist. Father God, move us into that generous spirit so that we don't wind up like the rich man, the greedy man, Father, that would refuse to love and to give his brother. Help us, Lord Jesus, to carry the gospel of the world, the gospel of our Father to the whole world, that he may be glorified in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
amen.